I'm reading from 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ, Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that in the Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God and the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with your joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, with which first lived in your grandmother, Louise, and in your mother, Enos. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and self-discipline.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Got lots of folks with us, lots of visitors today. Some new faces we've not seen, some we know, some other folks that we'll get to know today, but we're glad that all of you are here and visiting with us. And got folks who are here with mom today, so we're glad you can do that and hope that families can be together. And what a blessing it is if we can be together with our moms on this day, and really every day. This is what we call Mother's Day, but hopefully we enjoy that every day. And it's a time to show our appreciation to our mothers and to our wives for what they mean to us. And it's a time to remember our mothers that have gone on with fondness and appreciation as well. But a great day, and glad that all of you are here. We are running a little late. How about I tell you I'm mindful of that? So maybe that's good news. We'll move on. But we do have a great time. I want to kind of build on what Rob said. If you're not a part of our Sunday morning class, I'd encourage you to come. It's a discussion time in our fellowship hall, and we share scripture together. We've been going through Bible basic principles in our class. We've been talking about resurrection and baptism. We're going to talk about the church and what the church is, and our responsibility to the church, and the church's responsibility to each of us and the community. So we just encourage you to come be a part of that about 9:15 on Sunday mornings. We'd encourage you to be with us, and then we'll be back on Sunday nights at 6, and Wednesday nights is a special time that we begin about 6 o'clock with a meal. And for those of you who are visiting, you have to understand, these are around about times at Milton. We're not hard and fast on time. You just have to, if you're a real stickler for time, you might get frustrated with us. If you're into just loving being together, this is the place for you. But if it's about promptness, we're not known for that. But we meet at 6 and we eat and we fellowship, and it is a great time of fellowship. And we have a period of devotional and Bible study for all ages, and it is certainly a peak of the week for all of us. I think we all look forward to those Wednesday evening assemblies. So we would encourage you to be with us and be a part of our congregation here as we strive to serve God and our community. I want to talk about mothers today, and certainly we want to appreciate mothers, and I want to talk about the importance of motherhood. And I think we know it. If we're all just take a moment, we realize how important our mothers, for most all of us, have been in our lives. I remember the Bill Cosby comedy sketch, It's True. He talked about helping his son, men helping their sons with football, you know, knock them down, get back up, let's do it again, and helping them with sports, and then they make it big. They're in the national championship, and the television cameras on them, and they go, "Hi, Mom." You know, it's like, what did Mom have to do with all of this? But there's just something when you're a child and you don't feel good, or maybe you struggled with homesickness or those things, who did you want? Mom. As a general rule, it is moms that we go to, because there's a specialness in that relationship. We'll read here in just a moment from Luke, where Mary finds out that she is going to be the mother of Jesus. And you have to understand, this was disturbing for her because she was not married, nor had she had relationship with She is concerned about that, and the angel Gabriel, who we know by name, tells her that this child is from the Holy Spirit. But let's read Luke's account together. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." But Mary was greatly favored in being the mother of Jesus. Being a mother is so much more than a biological function. And I want to talk about that a little bit today. People just say, "Well, yeah, we understand that." But I'm not sure as a culture we remember that. That being a mother is a greater blessing and a greater responsibility. Now, I know we have removed some from the business of agriculture. And I'm fortunate to still be involved at least on some level in the business of agriculture. And there are things that we do that are biological. We can move embryos kind of on a regular basis, that we can take embryos and take from one animal to another. And so we'll have cows that we call recip cows, recipients of an embryo, and they will raise an embryo that is not theirs. They will carry it to gestation and then hopefully nurse it until that animal is weaned. And the reason for that is the superiority of the parent genetics that are superior to the recip's genetics. But the embryo will have none of the genetics of the recipient. She's just an incubator and a nurse, if you will. And she might milk more than the natural mother, so you have to be careful on monitoring weights and those things, that they'll be different. But the baby doesn't share any of the genetics of the mother. She, again, is just an incubator or a nurse. But being a mother is much more than being an incubator and a nurse, because we are not only physical, but we have minds and spirits. And so all of those are impacted by our mothers. And as mothers, you have an impact on all of those things. It's not just about reproduction in the natural sense. But being a mother is so much more than that. Because we are made as human beings in the image of God. And the image of God makes us different than the rest of creation. We are made in God's image. We are spiritual. We have a spirit that is given to us. We have a soul. And then we have the promise and the hope that our souls after our death will be reunited with our bodies at resurrection. And we will live eternally. And so the responsibility when we bring children into the world and mothers is to prepare not just to be healthy, not just to be able to provide for ourselves and for our families in a physical sense, not even just the responsibility of training our children to be able not only to care for themselves, but to raise and train another generation, which is an important part of what we do, but it is the responsibility to train our children to know God. And to be children of God. and to be able to pass on God's word and God's will to the generations that follow. The responsibility is tremendous. We look at Mary and say, wow, what a privilege, what an opportunity to be the mother of Jesus. And it was. And it was. And she had found favor with God. This was a young woman who God had chosen to be the mother of his son, to be the mother of the anointed one, to be the mother of the Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. But I believe those responsibilities, those opportunities are for all of our mothers. Those mothers that are with us today and those who will be mothers in the future. And remembering that responsibility to nurture and to train and to teach our children not only how to get by physically and to be sound emotionally, which are important, and to be educated. Because I know this is not true in every household, but it's certainly true really in the home I grew up in and certainly the home that I live in now. Mama is much better about helping get homework and practice piano and doing all those things than Dad is. And that's important stuff, because as dads, for most of us, I won't speak for all of you, but I'll speak for myself and most of us, we're oblivious to a lot of the things that are going on. We know that they're happening, but we're not sure how they happen or what needs to happen. I'm not saying it's the right thing. I'm just saying it is the thing, and we might as well just fess up to it and own up to it. Not that we don't think they're important. We're just really glad somebody else has the ability and the insight to see that it happens. I know they send home Friday letters. I'm not sure I've ever seen one. I'm not sure what's in it. I realize that they are pretty important. And I'm not making light of that, and I'm not even saying, guys, we shouldn't. I'm just saying it is. But moms do that. And as dads, we have a role to be spiritual leaders, but there is a connection with our moms, whether we be sons or daughters, that is special and unique, and an insight that is different, gentlemen, than ours. A nature that is different than ours, a nurturing that is different. Both of us are important as moms and dads, but moms just have a very special place to play. And ladies, there's a responsibility that goes there. We want to honor you today for doing that, but remembering the responsibility, and the responsibility is not only about homework and health and brushing your teeth and washing behind your ears, and did you use soap? And are you sure you used shampoo? It is. I know you told me you used shampoo, but are you sure you used shampoo? And if you don't brush your hair tonight, it is going to be a tangled mess in the morning. And all of those things. But what about teaching our children spiritually about God? Because we have a great responsibility in that. And mothers, you have a great responsibility in that as well. And so when Paul writes to Timothy, and Timothy seems to be struggling a little bit in 2 Timothy. Someone who Paul loves greatly, whose character is impeccable. And Paul writes to him in an encouragement for him to rekindle the faith that is in him. And I like the translation of that, to fan into flames this faith that is within you. Because if you've ever tried to start a fire out, and you've ever blown on it, or you've ever been where a blacksmith is and they're using the bellows to get the heat hotter by fanning it to get that. Or, you know, you always, if you're building a fire, you build it on the side so the wind will blow it into the rest of what you want to burn. And when that wind picks up, have you ever seen that fire just really grow? And so that's the picture of what Paul writes to Timothy, to fan into flames, to rekindle. You've had this flame, but it needs some attention, Timothy, to rekindle, to fan into flames this faith that is within you. Now, Paul had taught Timothy. Paul had instructed him. But where does Paul say Timothy's faith comes from? The faith that was in your grandmother and in your mother and now dwells in you. Paul doesn't say, the faith that you got because I taught you, but it was the faith to which you had grown up and been nurtured in that your mother and your grandmother have ahead of you. That this great man, Timothy, had been influenced greatly by the women that had raised him, and the women were who were in his life. What a responsibility. What an opportunity we have as mothers to make a difference in the lives of our children, to nurture them and to teach them about God and to share with them about faith. How many songs are there, not really gospel songs, maybe popular gospel? The really only genre of music I have much knowledge of is country and bluegrass, as you know, so I'll admit that. My knowledge is limited. But I did take music appreciation in college, if that makes you feel any better. But how many, especially country songs, are about mama and mama's faith? About mama singing a song, or mama reading the Bible to the family, or mama's faith kept us all together through the hard times. It's about mama's faith and courage and strength that makes such a difference. I'll have to share with you, this as an aside, but I can remember coming off Milton Hill. I had been to Carthage on one Saturday morning with a load of calves. And it was a Saturday before Mother's Day. And it was back when Eddie Stubbs was on the radio on Saturday morning. And if you're not familiar with Eddie Stubbs, the dean of Country Music University, I really can't explain it to you, but Eddie goes back and plays the old stuff. And it was Mother's Day, so he was singing, he was playing songs all morning about mothers. Now, here I was, a grown man, been hauling cattle, gotten up early that morning and loaded cattle and been to Carthage and doing the manly thing that we do. And I can remember coming off Milton Hill with tears in my eyes at one of those songs about mothers. Now, that's the true story. It just was touching because there's just something about our love and our relationship to our mothers and their influence that touches us so very deeply. And what an opportunity, again, I just wanted to keep reiterating that we have. And then Paul talks to Timothy that not only the faith of his mother and his grandmother had had an impact on him, but a faith that would transcend to generations yet to come. Sometimes I think we discount the impact that our influence will have in the future. The futures of our family and community, because we've existed. All of us, I think, like the story at Christmas. It's a Wonderful Life. And the thought, what would this community be like had this person not lived, and how very different it would be. But I think when we look back, there are folks in our history that have impacted us and our families, some not so positively, but hopefully in very positive ways. And we might not even know the impact that they had, the change that they made, but it has flowed through us and continues to. And there will be generations yet to follow who will be impacted by the decisions that our mothers make, and really all of us, by the lessons that are taught, by the faith or lack of faith that they share, by the example that they give. You know, it's so important to gather around a table together, to eat together. How many of us have memories of mom's table or grandmothers or aunts or uncles, whether it be holidays or Sundays or in the evenings when you were finished with the day, there being a meal there that you shared and always being taken care of? I know for us, I can see you looking and thinking, some with smiles, some with a little bit of sadness on your faces if you think about those good memories and those wonderful times that we have as children. You know, there's something in us that always wants to go back home. Isn't that true? Always wants to go back to those times of family around the table. Maybe it is, again, at a celebration. For many, we have shared the stories of times when, especially when folks worked on the farm, when everybody would work and they would come to the house and mom or grandma, the ladies would have a big meal, and not only family, but everybody was helping, would join at the meal, and maybe that would change from community to community place as we would work together. But the influence of those mothers and those ladies are make lasting memories. They teach us to be hospitable, which is a trait of the people of God. And I want to share one more point, and then I will stop. Not only is it a role for mothers in our families and to teach our sons and our daughters lessons of godliness, but the scripture says for older women to teach younger women to love their families and to be busy at home, to be able to balance work and life and children and family, which is a difficult thing, isn't it? And it's always been difficult. The challenges today are different than they've been in the past because we have more ladies working outside of the home, and that just brings different challenges to try to still come home and do a lot of the things that moms do, keeping things going. And we go more. I mean, we're all involved. Kids are involved. I mean, it is sports around the calendar for lots of us, isn't it? Or it's music or dance or something that our children are doing and trying to get them there to multiple places is a job, and it's a challenge. But I think back on those ladies of old who might have stayed at home. But man, what a challenge when you cooked over a fire. You couldn't set the timer to come on. You know, and you couldn't control the temperature as well. And when you washed, maybe outside, hung everything outside, had to go to the garden and get it and can it all. I mean, all those were challenges. They are just different. But as we learn to navigate those, we have to help each other. And older ladies have to help the younger ladies to learn to navigate this and to remember those things that are important. Loving our families, our husbands, our wives, our children, and managing all the challenges of life, because sometimes we need encouragement and we need help. And so our responsibility really spreads out even beyond those who are our children by blood and helping those who are around us. And that's biblical. That's not just the preacher talking. God says, older women, teach the younger women. Help them with the challenges you face and the struggles and the failures that you've had. Because we've all had some, haven't we? And teach them how to do better and differently. And sometimes it's not only teaching. Sometimes we just need that encouragement. Everything's going to be okay. Don't you need that? Because sometimes you really feel the pressure of trying to be everything and do everything. And I know moms feel that. And sometimes they need someone who's been there to say, hey, it's all going to be all right. You're doing good. You're doing good. You can't walk on water. Just do the best you can. And here things are important. Here are things I've learned. Moms, we have a day for you. Not because the florists and the card companies want it, although I think there is some conspiracy there, but because you deserve honor. Not just today, not just on Sundays, but every day. You deserve honor because you make a difference in our lives. And you make a difference in the future. And as husbands, we're incomplete without you. And as families, it's so difficult to hold together without you. Because you're just the linchpin in our families and in our homes, in our past and in our future. And we appreciate you. And you're a blessing to all of us from God. And you have a tremendous responsibility. And may God bless each of you as you carry that out. God gave his son, Mary, who loved Jesus and stored those things in her heart, had to stand at the foot of the cross as he died. And do you remember what Jesus does from the cross? The Lord who said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do, is the same man who, hanging in the pain of the cross, the shame of the cross, the threat, the fear, the nearness of death, looked down at Mary and John and said, woman, behold your son. And said to John, behold your mother. He made sure that his mother was cared for in his last moments, because moms are special. Jesus died on the cross for us. If you need to respond, do that while we stand and sing.